Hallo en welkom bij aflevering 90 van de Earning Show, waar het draait om hoe je online meer resultaat boekt voor jouw bedrijf. Hoe je als ondernemer online gebruikt voor meer klanten en omzet. Mijn naam is Earning en ik neem ondernemers met een team het werk uit handen voor online resultaat. Meer klanten en 50% meer omzet binnen een jaar. Vandaag het gesprek met Nicola Brood. En ze deelde zoveel waardevolle informatie dat ik dit gesprek heb opgedeeld in twee delen. Dus deze aflevering, maar ook de volgende aflevering gaat over het gesprek met Nicola Brood. Nicola is een succesvolle online ondernemer, internationale coach en oprichter van Jigsaw Box. Ze heeft een Master of Science in Occupational Psychology en een brede ervaring. Ze is moeder van drie kinderen en Nicola groeide van 0 naar 1 miljoen online omzet door de technologie eigen te maken en dat in haar coachingsbedrijf toe te passen. Ze heeft Jigsaw Box gemaakt voor haar klanten om online toegang te krijgen tot haar expertise op een flexibele en betaalbare manier. Dit maakt haar weer vrij om haar bedrijf te ontwikkelen en voor reizen en tijd met haar kinderen. Via Jigsaw Box helpt Nicola coaches, consultants en trainers om hun kennis en ervaring te prioritiseren en online te leveren zodat zij meer tijd, geld en vrijheid krijgen om dat te doen waar ze plezier in beleven. Nicola is ook de ontwikkelaar en oprichter van het Simplicity Project, haar nieuwste product, waar ze blogt, schrijft en een programma heeft om 90% van je to-do-lijst te schrappen. Op dit moment schrijft ze veel op haar eigen blog All About Love en dat gaat dus niet over de liefde voor de duidelijkheid. Dit was een aflevering uit de voormalige Number One Coach Biz Show, die niet verloren mag gaan, vond ik. De aflevering is in het Engels, maar heb je vast geen moeite mee. Veel plezier met het bijzondere gesprek met Nicola. Laten we beginnen.
Welkom in de Erno Hanning Show. De podcast waar je meer leert over de online kant van jouw coachingsbedrijf. Praktische tips die je helpen om vandaag jouw bedrijf online zichtbaar te maken.
Hey, hallo Nicola.
Hi. Well, glad to be here.
Yes, welcome to the Number One Coach Biz podcast. And, the question that I have to start off with is, so if you go to a networking event, and people ask you, what do you do? What do you tell them?
Well, it depends on the networking event that I'm at, because how I explain what I do really changes depending on who I'm speaking to at the time. So I'll give you an example if I'm at a coach's networking event, for example. So I mean, I think that's really important, right? It's what you do is you can make that so relevant to the person that you're speaking to that's right in front of you right now. And then when you speak to somebody else, something else about what you do is more relevant, right? But generally, when I'm talking to people, I'll tell them that I'm the creator of Jigsaw Box, which is an online coaching tool for coaches and consultants and trainers that helps them package up their expertise and start selling more than their time. So it's essentially like an e-learning platform. It's a content delivery platform, but designed specifically for coaches. That's how I describe what I would do with one of my businesses, which is Jigsaw Box. And then I have another area. So again, I might be talking to somebody different. There's another area that I work in, a different business that I have over at the simplicityproject.net. And that's a place where I help entrepreneurs create a simpler experience of running their business. So that's where I'm actually a coach myself. And then a more recent project, which is all about love.co.uk, which is where I'm blogging and sharing information and content about healthy eating and lifestyle and food and books and generally a lifestyle kind of blog. So I'm a busy lady, and depending on who I'm standing in front of is what I'll say that I primarily do with my time.
That is interesting, because what I try, what I tell people is, I think it's easier if you just focus on one thing. It makes life a lot simpler. But also, who you're standing in front of, if this person is not the person that's the perfect fit for you, if you have the pitch always the same, they might know somebody who could be perfect for you. And that's why I say, if you focus on one client, it makes everything a lot easier.
Sure.
But apparently, you love to go on different missions.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose I have the luxury that I was very focused for, a good few years on building up Jigsaw Box. So that was all that I did. Whenever you bumped into me, that's what I would explain to people. That's what I did, is I provided Jigsaw Box and helped coaches grow their businesses through that platform. Now I've been lucky enough to be in a position where that business now pretty much runs without me, which means that I'm able to go focus on lots of different areas at the moment. I don't need to, generate revenue, piles of revenue elsewhere, because I have Jigsaw Box. That's my main business. It does that for me. I don't have to spend much time doing it now, but it's the source of my revenue. So that's why I get to go and play now, a little bit more, because I have a business that runs without me pretty much. So I know most coaches aren't in that position. They don't have a business that brings them in revenue, or an alternative source of revenue that frees them up to go play. So I can be a little bit more frivolous with my time, I suppose, because I have put that time in to focus and build my initial business up.
Ah, great, great. And what I like about the Jigsaw Box, because I haven't looked into inside of it, but what I like about it is something that I'm really focused on right now. It is a membership model. Why is it good for you, a membership model?
Well, it kind of is what I was just referring to. So we have, members in our community, I suppose. We have people that join our Jigsaw Box community. Now, I have another membership program I'll talk about as well, but actually it's the same in both. So over at Jigsaw Box, we have coaches who subscribe to a monthly payment to use the software. And over at Simplicity Project, I have there a group of coaching clients who sign up onto. It's a rolling membership program, so they pay a monthly subscription and they show up to a call, a coaching call, and there's like a coaching program involved there. So, I love that model. That's why I use it and replicate it and use it in different businesses, because, well, for me, it just fits me really well. I love the idea of opening up my diary and there's nothing in it, but I still have income coming in every day. I love the fact I don't start from zero at the beginning of every month. Like, I have an established base of clients who are paying me month after month after month. I don't have to serve a client and then start again from the beginning and serve a client and start again from the beginning, but I can continue to add value over a longer term with clients. Like, I love doing that. I really like the idea of community. It really fits well with me. And I think when you have a membership, you're able to develop and grow that community of people, rather than it just being a one-off customer or a one-off sale or a one-off client. A membership really allows people to connect with each other, and I love being part of that as well. Now, I've met lots of people who that isn't the right model for. Like, they prefer to work maybe with a handful of VIP clients and just do one-to-one work, and they build a very successful model just doing, business model doing just that. And community is not so important to them, or the recurring revenue is not so important to them, and the passive income isn't so important to them. And so this would probably be a terrible business model if you were someone like that. But for me, it suits my personality. It suits my lifestyle. I've got three young children. I have several businesses. I'm a busy lady. I like being able to serve a large number of people without it taking huge amounts of my time. So that's kind of why I like the membership recurring revenue kind of model. And that's why I built Jigsaw Box, so that, to help other people be able to do that, so that they could build coaching products and programs rather than just doing VIP or one-to-one coaching all the time. For those people for whom this kind of model does appeal, that's why, Jigsaw Box is there, to facilitate other people to do that in their lifestyles. And we have loads of case studies and success stories of clients who, have totally changed their lifestyle as a result of being able to deliver things online instead of having to do every client one by one over the telephone. So yeah, this is the business model I love.
It sounds like, and I also read it somewhere on one of your profiles, is that you focus on business coaches.
No, I don't actually. Jigsaw Box has coaches, all sorts of different coaches. In fact, we have dance teachers, we have hairdressers, we have fitness instructors, we have dog groomers, we have life coaches, parenting coaches, business coaches. Now, we do have a large number of business coaches that use the platform. I think that's because they're pretty savvy about business, so they get how it financially makes sense for them. But we have a whole range of different people, a lot of people who you wouldn't imagine are actually, you know, don't even call themselves coaches, who use the platform. So it's a real varied group of people that we help.
Yeah, because if I look at, for example, your Twitter profile, you don't call yourself a coach either.
I don't really, no. I mean, I do. No, I don't really. I you know, I'll say to people, I teach about simplicity, or I teach about marketing. Sometimes I refer to myself as a coach and sometimes not. I think coach is more, when I first started out coaching, like, that was my number one bit of advice to all coaches, was like, stop calling yourself a coach. Because people don't understand it, they don't know what it is. But I think it's more and more used in terminology now. So if you explain to somebody, I'm a business coach, or I'm a health coach, or I'll carry on. So I think if you explain to people nowadays that you're a business coach, or you're a health coach, or a parenting coach, I think there's more acceptance of that terminology now. So sometimes I'll say, you know, I coach business owners around the area of simplicity, but I tend more to say that I teach people about simplicity.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't really thought about it, to be honest. I suppose I use both words now.
So tell me a little bit about this simplicity project, because I love the idea, and also because it focuses on entrepreneurs, and we'll get back to the coaches in a bit.
Yeah, sure. So that really came about because I've been working on building up Jigsawbox, and when we hit a big financial target at Jigsawbox, we wanted to reach $1 million in revenue, and we did that. We did it in about 4 years, which was brilliant. And I've been kind of striving my way towards that seven-figure goal since I'd set up the business. Like, that's what I wanted to achieve with the business, and it happened, and it was a really flat experience. I didn't even open a bottle of champagne. It was a real hollow experience, and that really shocked me. I was really confused by that, and I was like, well, oh, like, this is what I've been working so hard for, and it didn't make me happy. It just felt really flat. It's really hard to describe it. And that started me on a search for, earlier that year as well, I'd been working so hard, I kind of made myself really ill, and that had kind of sparked an interest in simplicity for me. Like, how can I make the business run more simply? How can I make it so that it runs without me? How can I put systems and team in place to make sure it runs without me? And then how can I make it really, really simple? But when I had this moment a few months later of reaching the revenue goal and it feeling really flat, it kind of set me off on a quest to find, like, well, what is this all about then, if making the money that you think you wanted to be happy isn't going to hit the spot? Like, what is it out there? Like, what's going on here? And that was where the Simplicity Project was born. That was my blog of my exploration into that. Like, so what else is there? And how does this impact on entrepreneurship? And what I started to see, I stumbled across a book by Jamie Smart called Clarity. And then from that book, I stumbled into, because I'd followed him a while ago, Michael Neal and his book, The Inside Out Revolution. And I ended up apprenticing with Michael and learning all about what I started to see more and more was an understanding of the psychology behind how human beings create their experience. And as I started to learn that over the last couple of years, like, my thinking settled down, I had a greater sense of clarity, I really saw where the feeling I'd been searching for from trying to make lots of money really came from. I understood how I was I understood, I could see how I was creating problems for myself in my business. You know, those business challenges that we all face and focus, and those roller coaster rides and all the rest that's part of growing a business. And I started to see how those were being created inside of my head. And I started seeing how I'd been trying to solve those problems that I'd been creating inside my head. And it just gave me a different outlook into entrepreneurship, and it gave me a different outlook into how to run my business and how to get the best results from my team and how to build relationships with people. And all of that that just fell out of this understanding of how people work. And the more and more understanding I got about how people work, just the easier life and business got. So that's what I set up the Simplicity Project, to explore that in more detail. Like, how does this understanding help business owners create greater revenues with less effort and less stress? And before, I'd always thought that was about the how-tos. It's like it was about, you know, teach me what systems, and teach me what pipelines, and teach me what Facebook ads I need, and teach me what email sequence I need. And what I started to see over the last couple of years is it's nothing to do with that. It's all about, for me anyway, this understanding of, it's kind of a deeper understanding of what goes on between the ears of an entrepreneur that impacts everything that they then go and do. And so that's what I'm learning about, sharing my journey, and teaching about over at the Simplicity Project.
I think this is really interesting, because I think it is something that I'm working on at the moment as well, even though I haven't gone somewhere near seven figures yet. But I think it's something that you could pick up way more in the beginning to find a way to simplify your business and get systems and get a team. But if you look at coaches, life and business coaches, do you think that in general they look at themselves as a business, but or more as just a one person who once needs to make money to, you know, to make a living?
I don't know that they consider it as a business. I think a business is something that has a life outside of you. And I don't think it's necessary for coaches to have to create businesses either. I didn't used to think that. I used to think that you had to create stuff that didn't have your personality in it, that could be totally dissociated from you as a person, like a sellable thing that you take you out of the whole business, and the business would be able to continue even if you went under a bus tomorrow. And that's a business, right? And some coaches build things like that. Jigsaw Box is an entity like that was built with that in mind. But I see really successful coaches who grow a business that's completely based around them going out and speaking their truth into the world. And that's all right as well. Like, that's equally as great a way to build a business. So I don't think it really matters which one you think you are, or which one you're. There isn't one that's right and you should do it this way. It's like you'll be drawn one way or another, and either way is fine. Like, it's not going to hinder your career, your revenues, your anything by following either. So don't worry about it. That's what I would say to a coach who was asking me about that.
Yeah, because what I've seen, and you probably see the same thing, but I also read about some coaches online, is that people feel that you need to be, as a coach, you need to be spending 80% of your time on marketing and just 20% on coaching.
What I've seen more about that recently, and this is something I heard Michael Neal talk about, you know, I just said about his book. Well, I remember seeing Michael Neal do a talk about selling great coffee. So he was like, you can have all of the pizzazz, the marketing, the emails, the special offers, the coupon codes, the special discounts, the bright lights and the shining whatevers. You can have all the scarcity and internet marketing tactics and all the Facebook ads you like. But if your coffee's rubbish, you're never going to be able to build a sustainable business. And so what he's referring to there is that if you do good work and what you do has an impact on your clients and it's transformational and it changes their lives, that's the foundation for an amazing business. And if you can reach out and touch more lives, those people are going to tell more people, and they're going to tell more people, and you won't need all the massive amount of marketing, because people who experience what you do will be so profoundly touched by what you do that they'll tell other people. And so for me, I love marketing. Like, I'd happily spend 80% of my time marketing. It gives me a thrill. I love sales conversations. I love working out bits of technology. Like, I love all that stuff. So it makes sense for me to spend time marketing and less time personally coaching people. But for people who love to coach and coaching is their thing and they hate the technology that goes behind it, then and trying to work out the latest marketing or social media strategies and techniques, is to go out there and just coach as many people as you can. And it will grow organically. And I think where most coaches, the number one thing I think that I think trips most coaches up is the time scales they have in their heads. So I think I see people who are like, I've just got out of coaching school, I want to create a six-figure business. And I want to do it in 18 months because I've set an intention and my vision board it's on there, so it's going to happen. And where I see coaches more elegantly experiencing success is they follow their gut, they follow their intuition, they do the next thing that looks obvious to them, and they understand that to grow a successful, sustainable business sometimes takes time, usually takes time. So it might take you 5 years, it might take you 10 years, it might take you 15 years. If you follow your gut, if you do the next thing that occurs to you and stop worrying so much about the time scale and trying to push it to a certain time, then it'll unfold at the rate it's going to unfold. And I'll share what I mean by that. Like, for me personally, this is a big change for me, right? This isn't the way that I have worked in the past before I sort of gained the understanding I've had over the last couple of years. So now for me, like, I've rolled out Simplicity Project and I've been blogging there, and I've just been, you know, I launched something called the Simplicity Circle, and I have some VIP clients, and that's all just kind of rolled out. I didn't have any idea where that was going when I started it. And now I've started this new blog that's all about love. And I don't have like a financial goal and a target, and this is what's going to happen in the next year, and this is how I'm going to market it, and this is what I'm going to blog about, and this is how it's going to, like, I don't have any of that in place. And I'm much more open because of that. I'm just more settled down about it. And when I'm more settled down about it, I'm going to spot opportunities, and things are going to come to me that I just haven't planned for, and I'm not expecting, and I haven't pushed for. And that's the way I'm interested in growing a business from this point forward. Now, I know people will say to me, it's all very well for you because you've got revenue coming in other ways.
I was just thinking that, yes.
Yeah, I know. People throw that at me all the time. And the thing is, like, if I was in need of creating money to pay my bills right now, like, I know that the more settled down I am, the more open I am to opportunity, the kind of ideas that will be coming to me right now will be ones about really, really easy ways to make money. There'd be really easy ways about how to create products and programs, or how to get my next client, or which networking event to go to, or which webinar, or which podcast to say yes to, right? There would be ways of, like, those are the kind of ideas that would be coming to me right now as I'm settled down and I've got the pressure off. Like, we always kind of think, coaches, I see so many coaches who think that if they don't worry about the money and they don't stress about it and they don't try and come up with a plan and they don't try and force it, it's not going to happen for them. When actually the absolute reverse is true. Like, the more calm down you are, the more settled you are, the more And the evidence of this is, like, you know when you get your best business ideas, and they're never when you're sitting at your desk, like, trying to learn about Facebook ads. They're when you're having a walk, or when you're having a shower, or when you're on that brilliant wisdom that's there when I stop thinking about it so hard. Now, for me, it's showing up in ideas of fun things to do with my life, and it's showing up in terms of, you know, fun blog posts and crazy stuff and getting into food and health and ideas that are drawing me down that route, because that's obviously what's in store for me right now. But for other people, you know, when I was working on the Simplicity Project more, there was, you know, I'd get ideas about products and programs and ways to engage clients, because that was a business where I wanted to create a revenue from. And so those were the kind of ideas that were coming through to me then. So what I see is there's that we all have access to this, you know, the wisdom that speaks to you in the shower, right? We all have access, like, that's where the best business ideas come from, that kind of quieter place. And what you'll get is perfect insights for your business, with the direction that you're focused in, with your bills in mind, right? So for another person, I'm not going to get insights about how to run a parenting coaching business and how to create seven figures right now, because I'm so not interested in that. But what I will get is insights about how to engage my kids more when they're always on their phones, about how to train my dog, how to write on my blog post and things about my health, because that's perfect for me right now. And so for another person who's building, say, a life coaching business, they'll get insights about networking events or programs they could offer or clients they could reach out to. That's what I love about the wisdom that comes in the shower, for want of a better expression, is it's always perfectly geared to you and your situation. I don't know, like, I let that be my guide more in terms of how I spend my time and what I do these days.
I love it. Because I think the rest, the peace of mind you need to do this should be so natural to many coaches, you know, because that's often a phase they have been through, and, you know, they find happiness through coaching, and now they're using the same method with other people to help them.
I think, to be honest, though, Anna, I think there's such a fundamental misunderstanding in the way that we operate in our lives, because we think that our happiness comes from, or any of our feelings come from, the world outside of us. We think that, you know, losing weight makes us happy. We think that making money makes us happy. We think that having your partner behave in a certain way makes us happy. Having our children behave in a certain way, our business looking a certain way, makes us happy. And me too, for, you know, 42 years of my life, or 41 years of my life, until I started seeing the stuff that I saw over at Simplicity Project, where I saw that there is nothing we need to do to be happy. That this wisdom, this inbuilt well-being, the thing that we're all searching for by trying to get the coaching client, make the money, lose the weight, have our husband behave a certain way, like, all that thing that we're seeking through our external circumstances, we already have it. We're sitting in the middle of it. It's just we take ourselves away from it through our thinking. And our thinking creates the experience of the world we have, and, you know, our thinking creates our experience of the world around us. It's not that your coaching business looking the way that it does is making you unhappy. It's your thinking about your coaching practice looking the way that it does that makes you unhappy. It's not the 10 clients in your diary that makes you jubilant. It's your thinking about 10 clients in your diary that makes you happy. And but for our thinking, we're always sitting in the middle of peace of mind, contentment, well-being. And there's nothing we need to do to go get that in the world outside of us, because we already have it. And that's just a fundamental misunderstanding about how most people think the world works, like how we create our experience. We think it's outside in, when in fact, it's inside out. Our whole experience of the world just comes from our thinking inside of us. And that's the thing that's transformed my life. That understanding is what's transformed my life and how I show up in my business over the last 2 years. It's been huge for me.
I think that I couldn't agree more. Let's say that first. And at the same time, I also see in my own house, in my own experiences, how things go. I'm happy with what I'm doing, but I'm in discussions with my wife when the money is sometimes tight, because outside, you know, the world, things, in some way we need to live, we need to have so many vacations, we have to have so many cars, we need to have this kind of clothes, we have this stuff, so a lot of images of how we. When we are happy is coming as to us from all these other people and all these other media. And like you said, in the end, when you are there, you go like, well, is this it? Is this what really should have made me happy?
We're constantly, surrounded by a world that thinks it works outside in. And sometimes it is really blatant, so you'll see it on adverts, like buy this shampoo and then you'll be happy, and have this car and then you'll be happy. But sometimes it's a lot more subtle than that. It's just the way that we're born into a world that thinks outside in. So you know, as soon as we're born, that's reinforced from our parents, it's reinforced from our friends, it's reinforced from every person around us, pretty much, that if you choose the right career, you'll be happy. If you could just create the right vision and work towards that, when you achieve your vision, or even working towards your vision makes you happy. If your kids are happy, then you can be happy. You know, we all have our own versions of it, right? Me too, where it's just like, oh, as long as my kids are all right, I'll be happy. Or as long as I'm coaching, then I'll be happy. As long as I'm get to travel with my work, as long as I have a passive income stream, then all those things make me happy. And I don't know, luckily for me, I suppose I was in a position in my life where I had everything. Like I have, you know, my dream house, my dream car, my dream income, my dream, you know, three healthy kids, a wonderful husband, a lovely marriage, all that stuff on paper. And that was the moment when I said to you, it was like, oh, this doesn't make me happy, and why is that? And what I've learned is that it's because that's not where happiness comes from. It doesn't come from the outside. It's an experience it's always there for all of us in any moment, but for our thinking.
Dat was het gave gesprek met Nicola. En je vindt de namen en links die Nicola noemde in het artikel dat bij deze uitzending hoort. Ga daarvoor naar ernohanning.nl/show90. Vergeet niet te abonneren op de Erno Hanning Show, want dan krijg je elke aflevering vanzelf te zien. Dat kun je doen via iTunes en Stitcher bijvoorbeeld. Ga naar iTunes, zoek op de Erno Hanning Show, klik op de plusje of abonneren en je krijgt elke aflevering vanzelf. Als je daar toch bent, klik dan ook even op de 5 sterren bijvoorbeeld om de aflevering te beoordelen en geef je recensie. Dit helpt namelijk om andere ondernemers bekend te maken met deze podcast. Dank je wel alvast. Heb je vragen over deze aflevering met Nicola of heb je een vraag over de podcast? Stuur dat naar podcast@ernohanning.nl. Ik lees elke mail persoonlijk en ik hoor graag van jou. Ben jij teleurgesteld in het resultaat van jouw online acties? Heb je het gevoel dat je kansen mist? Doe de online resultaatanalyse en leer hoe jouw bedrijf online meer klanten en meer omzet krijgt. Vraag nu jouw analyse aan. Volgens mij is er nu een wachtlijst. Schrijf daarop in en je hoort wanneer een plek vrij is. Boek dan snel, want mijn agenda loopt altijd vol. Ga daarvoor naar onlineresultaatanalyse.nl. Ik hoor je graag in de volgende aflevering. En zoals je weet, dit is dan deel 2 van het gesprek met Nicola Bird. Dankjewel.
Dankjewel voor het luisteren naar de Erno Hanning Show op ernohanning.nl.